A new sign that banks are getting healthier.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. You may have missed it in yesterday's big rally on Wall Street, but bank stocks jumped especially high. That was thanks to news that the Federal Reserve might let some banks boost dividend payments to investors. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now live from Washington with more on this. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us, what exactly is the Fed allowing banks to do?
To cut bigger checks to their investors. And a dividend is kind of like interest on your bank account. Say you, Jeremy the investor, own bank stock. You can make money two ways. The stock price can go up and you sell, or you can get a dividend, which is a share of the profits. And we all know that banks have been weak lately, and the Fed has limited their dividend payments to protect their vital organs, their capital, at least until this news, which first came out in the Wall Street Journal. I just spoke to Justin Urquhart Stewart at Seven Investment Management in London, and he says the new rules on bigger dividends are a sign of better health.
It means that they can start doing that because they're now in strong enough to pay dividends, then that's a positive sign for investors and also for the economy.
Okay, a positive sign, but does this mean the banks are back, Scott?
Well, the reports say only the stronger banks can boost their dividends. Now, lots of them, as we know, are still working off bad debt and waiting for the housing market to bounce back. So this is one step, but one indicator that the banking sector is on the way to getting back to its core job, which is pumping money through the economy.
Okay, Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Earnings season continues this morning with quarterly reports from Beazer Homes and Dish Network. If there's been one pattern this earnings season, it's this. Companies that are growing are relying on sales overseas for that growth. We're going to dig into that now with Ron McNeil. He's head of the College of Business and Management at the University of Illinois Springfield. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, we've seen earnings in the last couple weeks. Merck says it now gets 18% of revenue from emerging markets. Dow Chemical, Procter & Gamble. This is obviously a trend, but why is there such growth in emerging countries and not here in the U.S.?
Well, emerging markets are coming out of very little, so their consumer markets are great. Any growth is big growth, but when you're talking about populations of a billion in India, 1.3 billion in China, even 300 or 400 million people in China buying more makes a huge impact.
So this is really the only way to be at this point. You've got to be a global company.
Right now, the U.S. is about, and Europe and Japan, 51% of the world's market. By 2040, it's going to be India and China is 51%. That's the prediction. Those are emerging markets to build infrastructure, bridges, highways, and a consumer market as that comes along. So you have to think globally.
Do you think it's good for us as Americans that our big companies are making their big money overseas and not here at home?
Well, they need to do both, but what if they didn't make any money abroad and only depended on the U.S. market? Think about the stock market itself. It would go down, and retirees and pension funds would lose money.
Can you survive as a small business that's just doing business in your local community anymore?
Absolutely. There's still a need for those small businesses. And the little companies find their niche. And what they're good at is being very close to the local markets. And if they're very successful and keep adapting, they become bigger companies.
Ron McNeil, Dean of the College of Business and Management at the University of Illinois Springfield, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are flat right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow closed up 219 points to 11,434. The Dow last closed that high, by the way, about a week before Lehman Brothers collapsed. This morning, all eyes will be on the October unemployment number from the Labor Department.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Major League Soccer continues its playoffs this weekend. The LA Galaxy faces off against the Seattle Sounders on Sunday. 2 years ago, the Sounders weren't even in the league, but now the team's unique business strategy has made it number one when it comes to ticket sales. Josh Plattis reports.
Here at Quest Field, where the Sounders play, the place has the feel of a World Cup soccer final. Every seat is sold out, and the cheering is deafening. What is it about the Sounders? Their championship coach? The talented foreign players? That certainly shows up in their level of play. But maybe the team's financial success has more to do with the Sounders' owners, giving fans the power to make some team decisions. Fans can join the Sounders Team Membership Association and periodically vote on whether team management stays or goes. Trip Mickle is with Sports Business Journal.
You're literally an owner of this team. You have a say in how it's run. That's unusual in professional sports.
Sounders GM Adrian Hanauer is one of the managers that can be voted out, but he supports the arrangement.
It all is part of sort of a bigger plan, which is to make sure that our fans are engaged and that they're part of the process.
Since it debuted 16 years ago, Major League Soccer has had a hard go of it. Many teams are struggling to make a profit, but the Sounders typically double the league's average attendance and sell more merchandise than any other team. In Seattle, I'm Josh Plattis for Marketplace.
A possible compromise on extending Bush-era tax cuts for rich and poor alike is in the work after the Republican triumph in the midterm elections. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the president is willing to consider a compromise for a 1 or 2 year extension of the tax cuts for everyone. And finally, a New York cop is suing for slander after he was allegedly caught racing through the streets with his lights flashing and then parking in front of a Dunkin' Donuts. A city councilman saw the whole affair, took pictures of it, and reported it to news outlets. Now, the cop wants $2 million from the city and the councilman for damage to his reputation. $2 million, I think, could buy a lot of donuts. You can check out our Midday Update podcast. It's at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The Haitian novelist Edwige Dantica has a new book out. It's a memoir this time about arts in the middle of horrible tragedy.
Some of it is born perhaps out of struggle, but out of spirituality and a great sense of strength and resilience.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the expatriate artist at work next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.